it's a bigger project than just, you know, the instruments that we are creating. This is a collaboration, you know, between a group of archaeologists, expert in their field, who are trying to get a better understanding of New Zealand's pre-European history, and a group at computer science who are experts in machine learning, and we in the Auckland Bioengineering Institute who are, you know, good at making instruments for analysing these artefacts.
Well, what are we going to know? If it's going to better analyse, what does better mean? And what does analyse mean? Is it any different from the word, from the definition we already know of better and analyse?
So at the moment, archaeologists investigate sites. There's a lot of information that you can gather out of finding artefacts, such as, you know, stone chips or partially made tools or fully made tools that you know, have been in the ground since pre-European days. You know, they're found in areas where people were living or where they were encamped for, you know, trading, etc. But these artifacts are often very difficult to analyze. They require a lot of time to look at and gain information from, and they typically require, you know, the expertise of only a few people who are available in New Zealand. As a consequence, we have large collections of these stone artifacts that are just languishing without, you know, being understood. So what we're trying to do is create some tools that can effectively take the knowledge of the archaeologists and other experts and put these artifacts into a digital form. You know, we scan them, we recreate their geometry in the computer, and that allows us then to use machine learning, you know, specialized techniques to gather information far more quickly from these artifacts than could be done by humans by themselves. Not only that, but the information that we pull out from these analyses is now, you know, can be made available to a much wider range of people. It's not locked away in a repository somewhere, but is generally available to, for instance, local iwi who may have a strong interest in what is found where and how they might have, you know, got there, you know, through trade or through you know, movement of other sorts of movements of people.
So, as an example, then we might have a very small fragment of a kōhatu of a stone, and with this technology, we might be able to determine whether it was part of a larger vessel, a larger implement, a larger piece of weapon, as an example.
Yes.
And then would we, so there's that, would we also be able to determine the original whakapapa or the whakapapa of that implement? So if we did have one that was larger, a weapon or a vessel, a taonga that was larger, would we be able to determine its whakapapa, where it originally came from? So whether it came from Te Waipounamu or Te Tai Tukurau or even Samoa?
Yes. That is our hope. There's a long way to go before we can, you know, say with a good deal of certainty a particular taonga, you know, has this whakapapa associated with it. But what we're trying to do is, I guess, open the gates so that many more tools can be analysed. We can find, hopefully, where particular stones, original stones, came from by looking at the makeup, what sort of minerals, for instance, make up the particular flake or the tool. And if those characteristics are similar, we can infer that they came from a particular area or a range of possible sites. So yes, that is the intention here, but we've got a long way to go before we can really have some certainty about whether this approach is going to work. That's really what this research is all about, to make those first steps.
I see. I said whether if a taonga comes from Samoa, and as an example, we might not be, as you pointed out, might not be able to trace the whakapapa of the particular implement. But would we be able to? We would be able to determine that actually parts of this rock or the stone kohatu has elements that are very similar with other rocks or minerals found in a different part of the world. I'm thinking of greenstone as an example, our Pounamu, found here in Aotearoa, but also found in Asia as well too. So although it might not be the same, is it the same? Will we be able to determine those kinds of things that actually when the tectonic plates moved, we ended up with parts of it over here and parts of it remained in other parts of the world?
Yes, the tools that we're developing, we're hoping that we can distinguish fairly clearly where the taonga came from. So, yes, we are hoping, for instance, that the Pounamu from the South Island or from New Zealand have characteristics that we can identify using the specialised equipment that we're building, to reliably distinguish them from similar stones from other sources. But of course, it's not just Pounamu. There is also stones, volcanic stones, for instance, that are peculiar to New Zealand. Volcanic glass, for instance, that was often used for making tools, is really only found, in the Bay of Plenty, Taupo, up to Mare Island, for instance. We're already starting with a good deal of knowledge about where the flakes originated, the tools originated, and from that, we can infer what that trade occurred, or at least these tools were carried from specific places to other places. And, that's going to inform, that's going to add to the oral history that we already have, about the interactions between people, providing a new dimension, so to speak, in our knowledge.
Wonderful. And I guess the other question is around the migratory patterns of iwi as well too, of Māori. Yes. Would we also be able to determine with much more accuracy, is accuracy the right word? But got to be really careful when I talk to academics about which words to use. would we be able to also track the journey patterns of iwi as well too, by determining and analysing our flakes and our time?
Well, it's difficult to know just how much we can infer, but at least what we're trying to do is provide, more knowledge from which we may be able to infer with better clarity and better accuracy the trading patterns, the interactions between iwi.
Mm-hmm. Professor Nelson, wonderful to call it all with you. Thank you so very much for joining us here on Irirangi Wātea. It's been very informative. We wish you all the very best to you and your team. Just one final question, though. Must have cost a fair whack.
Well, this work is, it's involving quite a few people from University of Auckland, Otago Museum, and University of Otago, but it's actually taking advantage of collections that are already languishing there. And what we're trying to do is actually get much better value out of something that already exists. So overall, the grant is for $1 million over 2 years. But that's really involving, almost a dozen people to put their expertise and time into trying to solve this this very difficult problem.
Oh, I've just got another question, if you don't mind. I've just got another Sure. question that has come in on our Facebook page, and it is, can you also determine or analyse core iwi bones, human remains, with this technology?
That may be possible. For this initial work, we are focusing on stone artefacts and, you know, trying to determine what pieces came from, what tool, what original stone. It may be that further down the line, the tools that we create are applicable to bones as well. And that would be a natural progression because, you know, bones last quite a long time in the soil. But we're really trying to be focused on stone artifacts initially, and then we will, widen the scope further down the line.